This is On Point. I'm Jane Clayson. At a gun control rally in Fort Lauderdale, Florida on February 17th, Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School senior Emma Gonzalez delivered a powerful and passionate appeal on behalf of her fellow students and survivors.
They say that tougher gun laws do not decrease gun violence. We call BS! They say a good guy with a gun stops a bad guy with a gun. We call BS! They say guns are just tools like knives and are as dangerous as cars. We call BS! No, they say that no laws could have been able to prevent the hundreds of senseless tragedies that have occurred. We call BS! That us kids don't know what we're talking about, that we're too young to understand how the government works. We call BS!
Two students who survived the shooting at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School are with us now. Listeners, what do you say to these students as they head back to school this week? What do you think of their activism? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can follow us on Twitter and find us on Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me now from New York City, David Hogg, a 17-year-old senior at Stoneman Douglas. While in hiding from the shooter, he recorded interviews with his classmates. David, welcome to On Point.
Hi, Jane. How are you doing?
Well, I'm okay. Let me get Parkland, Florida, Michelle's Lapidote here. She's a 15-year-old freshman. Michelle, you're with us, and we appreciate it. Welcome to you.
Hi, Jane. Thank you.
David, we've been talking about President Trump's proposal to arm school teachers in this country. He mentioned it several times last week. The NRA's Wayne LaPierre also talked about it, talking about we must harden our schools. What do you think about this idea that we've been talking about this hour?
Honestly, I don't think it's a great idea. Personally, I don't think it's a good idea at all, considering the fact that there were so many people that should have stepped in that were armed, trained police officers that didn't. How can we expect our teachers to do the same thing? And the other thing that this brings up is, what if a teacher was taken out and a teacher and a student picked up the gun and tried defending her himself? How do we know that that student isn't going to be misidentified as another school shooter or as the school shooter? We won't. And what many people will say is that we need IDs for that. No, we don't. You have, these are split-second decisions to either pull the trigger and save your own life or take somebody else's.
And so, Michelle, would an armed teacher have made a difference to your mind in that horrific shooting at Parkland that you survived?
Absolutely not. My teacher was actually almost as scared of us as us, but I was lucky that she knew what she was doing. But in other cases, if teachers had had guns, it's just a matter of, like, during the day, normally a student could somehow get it, or like, teachers sign up to teach, and that's it. They're not signing up to go and protect us and fight like they do in the military. They're supposed to teach. Our security guard should have stepped in, but he didn't, because he didn't feel comfortable even with his armed weapon.
David Hogg, it's been 12 days since this horrific shooting at your high school. How are you doing? How are you handling all this to this point?
I'm just trying as best as I can to continue on and pass on the message. That's really, really what I'm trying to do here, is not divide us. I'm trying to make us come together as Americans, not separate us.
And what is your message, David? What do you want people to know?
I want people to know that change is coming, and you can either be on the right side or the wrong side of history. But if the past is any given as to what the right side of history is, it's the side that agrees with people and the side that makes people come together and learns to love each other, not the side that hates.
So, Michelle, David says change is coming. What change exactly do you want to see? Do you and your fellow students want to see?
We want to see gun control. We want to see security that is willing to protect us. We want to see better construction that won't be able to get shot through. We just want to make sure that we're being better taken care of rather than just acting as sitting ducks in a school.
During a town hall meeting on CNN last week, Florida Senator Marco Rubio said he was reconsidering supporting a ban on high-capacity ammunition magazines.
It's not the loopholes. It's the problem that once you start looking at how easy it is to get around it, you would literally have to ban every semi-automatic rifle that's sold in America. Fair enough. That is a valid position to hold. But my colleagues do not support banning every semi-automatic rifle sold in America.
David Hogg, tell me what you heard in that exchange. It felt to me like the political ground on the gun debate was shifting right under Rubio's feet as he was speaking and hearing the reaction from the crowd.
Well, absolutely, and I've been saying this a lot. It's almost like Marco Rubio's a professional dancer because he's amazing at sidestepping questions. If you notice, when we asked him about the NRA and whether or not he would take donations, those 3,000-plus students that were there from my school, along with so many parents and different supporters, he would not give us a simple yes or no answer, even though we asked him multiple times, will you take donations from the NRA? He said he will continue to take donations from the NRA, but he said it in like a five-sentence answer, and one in an effort to distract the American public.
Michelle, talk about some of Rubio and some of the other legislators, what they've been talking about as far as creating gun violence restraining orders. Is this a good idea to you? Is it enough? What do you hear in those sorts of proposals?
I mean, I don't think that they're going to do it just because they're all receiving so much money and backing from the NRA. But I know he did support, well, Rubio at least, he did support raising the age limit. But as far as I know, and as far as it seems, it really does not seem like they're going to be doing anything as of now until we keep making more noise.
David, I just want to take you back a little bit to the shooting itself, because I read that you, during the shooting, were actually interviewing your fellow students as you were hiding.
Yep.
Tell me what that was like, what you did, what you talked to your fellow students about.
It was absolutely horrifying to have to interview my friends, but I knew that if I died there and our souls were left behind spattered across the classroom in our own blood, hopefully some of these congressmen would see essentially the writing on the wall, you know, like look back at history and realize what really happened here, and realize maybe if we died, hopefully our voices, if unlike our souls, would carry on and hopefully echo through the halls of Congress and across the nation, because certainly our voices, had we not just spoken up, would never be heard.
What were the students saying to you?
They were saying essentially that they can't believe that politicians like Marco Rubio, Governor Rick Scott, and various other people have continued to allow this to happen, are continued to be supported by the NRA, and the fact that no action has been taken to prevent exactly what was happening there is absolutely horrifying. There was a junior NRA member that I was interviewing that was supposed to go out and shoot guns the next day for their birthday, and they completely changed their position. Their name was Alex Vu, and they acknowledged how horrifying this was and how they didn't want to ever really touch a gun again. And that's what we're starting to see in this country. We're starting to see an approval rating for universal background checks get higher. We're starting to see levels of public support for gun control and gun safety higher than they've ever been since 1993. Change is here, and it's coming.
Let me get Marlene in here, a caller from Tampa, Florida. Hi, Marlene. You're on the air with David Hogg and Michelle Lapidot.
Hi, Jane. So I'm a child psychologist, and I am super impressed by how these kids are speaking up and handling all this. You had asked what you might say to them or what advice you might give them. My concern is that they also are taking care of themselves and taking time out for self-care. You know, what they're dealing with in the public sphere would be overwhelming for anybody, but on top of experiencing recent trauma, it just seems, I'm just hoping that they're carving out some time to just relax and do fun kid stuff because, they've been through a lot.
Marlene, thank you. Indeed, they have. David Hogg, many Parkland students marched to the Florida State Capitol in Tallahassee. You've been doing a lot of media and things. How do you see yourself mobilizing in the weeks and months to come?
Just constantly getting on Twitter, working during midterms after the march, working up till the march, to make sure everybody's out there, and making sure that these people that are supported by the NRA, like Marco Rubio and Governor Rick Scott, can never get elected ever again. Because if they do, they're going to continue pushing this pro-gun agenda that, in a sense, is good because they're helping protect Second Amendment rights, but is bad because they refuse to acknowledge the other side because they only get funding. They only get funding from the NRA. For example, Marco Rubio, he has gotten over $3.3 million from the NRA. That's over $176,000 for each one of my 17 fellow classmates and teachers that were slaughtered at my school. How can we continue to elect him? How can we elect somebody like Rick Scott that's supported by the NRA and refuses to take action? You can see he's implementing these policies a year from now in an effort to get elected for the United States Senate to take Bill Nelson, the Florida senator's seat. That's what he's trying to do, and it's disgusting. He could definitely do this stuff faster. It's just because he wants to see his election for Senate.
What about inaction so far in the Florida legislature? I know Florida Governor Rick Scott is calling for raising the minimum age to buy firearms. There hasn't been a lot of action, frankly, by your state lawmakers on this point. Are you satisfied? What more needs to be done?
I'm not satisfied. I will never be satisfied until every single person that is supported by the NRA or the gun lobby or any lobby that promotes the endangerment of the American public and our democracy, until those elected officials are out of office, I will never feel justified. And the people, for example, we were only able to meet with one Republican lawmaker. We were supposed to have a day full of constant meetings, and person after person at the Florida legislature in Florida canceled on us. And that's because they want people in Florida to forget. This session's almost over, and they just want to get reelected with NRA backing. That's what they want. They want us to forget, and we're not going to let that happen.
Vanessa writes via email to us, I just want to thank you for having these brave students on today, and thank you from the bottom of my heart to these students and to all the young people who are standing up against a system that is long overdue for change. Thank you for being the bright and intelligent voices of our nation so desperately in need right now. We are behind you. Let's get Dennis in here from Sandy Hook, Connecticut. Hi, Dennis. Welcome to On Point.
Hi, Jane. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Go ahead.
You know, after what happened, you know, so horrifically in our school system here.
Right there in Sandy Hook, yeah.
Oversight. Yep. You know, it took a while to piece together how to arrange security, but, you know, we have a system in place right now that does not arm teachers and should not arm teachers. It's impossible to get into the schools without confronting at least one armed security person who is an ex-police officer and an unarmed person who is constantly making rounds. You know, we have the local police doing their rounds, mm-hmm. Driving through parking lots.
Mm-hmm.
It's all non-intrusive. And I take umbrage with what Trump said about the security guards not knowing the kids, not loving the kids. I don't know if you read that quote at all.
Mm-hmm.
But these security guards know every child by name, high five, hugs. They know the parents, they know the teachers, and it is all done with vigilance and love. It's incredible what happened in our community.
Dennis, thank you very much for the call. Michelle Lapidot, jump back in here. I know classes are set to begin at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School this week. Are you ready to go back, Michelle?
I'm still in shock about the whole thing. Like, I don't really feel like it happened. I feel like it was a terrible movie. I went to sleep and I woke up and I just remember clips of it throughout my day. But they're easing us back into it slowly. I'm personally ready to go back, but I feel like I need to talk about it with a lot of people there for like the first week until I start resuming my workload and my classes.
The building where the shooting happened, of course, is shut down. And some of the students, as I have seen, went back yesterday to sort of walk around. What do you think will go through your mind, Michelle, as you walk through the doors of Stoneman Douglas?
I actually went yesterday, and I was in the freshman building.
Mm.
But I wanted to go back into the freshman building because I feel like it's opened a loop of my life. And that when I go back, it'll be closed and everything will hit me. And, I mean, I don't want to say that'll be it, but emotionally, like, I'll feel something. But as I was walking through the high school, it was really nice to see police there and to see security and to see how seriously everyone was taking it now. And I guess it's, well, they realize because it's not a joke.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to feel safer. I'm just going to feel closer with my peers.
David Hogg, you have been accused of being a, quote, crisis actor since this shooting, and I wonder if you'd respond to that.
Yeah, totally. I to those people that have been saying this stuff, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry to you that you've lost enough faith in America to believe that we would have actors out here doing this type of thing. I'm not an actor now. I'm an activist. I've never... It's just unfathomable that I even have to answer that question, but I understand. And to those people that are calling me out, I want to thank them. They've done a great job of advertising. They promoted our campaign, kept us in the mass media, and they're still doing a great job of it. So honestly, thank you to them. One thing I want to point out, though, going back to the school, is the fact that they're replacing all the glass in our school with non-bulletproof glass, and they aren't replacing any of the locks to make them lockable from the inside. How can we do that and allow this to basically happen again? I know we're going to have more security, but that's not forever. And I know it's going to cost a lot. I'm sure there are people that can help us get started out with this in terms of funding if we needed more bulletproof glass or anything. Mm-hmm. But because of economies of scale, the price will eventually go down more and more as there's a huge demand for it. And if every school across America had bulletproof glass, we could probably save thousands of lives and promote American job growth at the same time.
So I just have about 30 seconds here. After Sandy Hook, after Las Vegas, after now Parkland, what do you want people to know, David Hogg? You get the last word.
Honestly, just get out, take action, and never forget about this. Never forget about these 17 individuals, and never, ever don't vote.
David Hogg, 17-year-old senior from Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, survived the slaughter 12 days ago. David, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Jane.
Michelle Lapidot, 15-year-old freshman there in Parkland, Florida. Michelle, thanks to you. Good luck.
Thank you so much.